You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Yeah, peace, harmony, pet power. Holy shih tzu, baby. You'll learn how to keep your pets from chewing your shoes or eating your cat. It's all about relationships, baby. You and your pet... pet. So tune in, turn on, and get ready for the positively grooviest pet podcast on the planet. Ooh, that's a lot of peas, baby, isn't it?
What's this show called?
Oh, Behave!
No, really, what's this show called?
Oh, Behave! With your shagadelic host, Arden Moore. What's happening, Arden? Yeah, baby, yeah. Tell us.
Welcome to the Oh, Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Did you hear that? Probably not. But chances are that your dog did. When it comes to hearing, you know, dogs have us beat, paws down. Their ears, no matter if they're erect or drooping, seem to be able to pick up a far wider range of sound frequencies than we can. That explains why your pooch snoozing in the upstairs bedroom seems to magically appear by your side in the kitchen when you rustle a bag of potato chips. You know, it's true, a dog's heart is through his belly. Treats rule. But on today's show, we will learn about the powerful connection between emotions and canine ears. New research is out on how to use sound to improve the health and behavior of dogs. Leading the way on this fascinating research are our special guest, Joshua Leeds, a renowned expert on psychoacoustics, and Dr. Susan Wagner, a veterinary neurologist. Welcome to the show, Joshua and Susan.
Thank you so much.
We're going to tune in to how sound can calm a dog frightened by thunderstorms, how to deal with separation anxiety, and a whole host of other things right after these messages.
Would you like to go out? Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me. Oh, Behave! We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah. Want to know what cats like to eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies, of course. Learn everything there is to know about cats on Catitude with your host, Tom Dock. Each week, we'll spotlight a cool cat breed, give up-to-date advice on cat health, and check out spiffy new cat products. So curl up on the couch every week for a perfectly enjoyable time on Catitude. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Pets are part of the family, and when traveling with your dog, there's only one magazine to include when packing your doggy's duffel bag, and that's Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. Each bi-monthly issue includes hotel, city and state reviews, and doggy destinations to explore with your furry companion. Fido Friendly magazine can be found at Borders, Barnes & Noble, PetSmart, Pet Boutiques, and Fido Friendly hotels nationwide. Or you can go online to subscribe at www.fidofriendly.com. So get traveling with your pet today and leave no dog behind. And remember, Fido Friendly's the only magazine dedicated to the travel lifestyle of man's best friend and the one magazine your dog will thank you for.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, Behave!
Welcome back to the Oh, Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our guests are Joshua Leeds and Dr. Susan Wagner. Joshua is based in the San Francisco Bay Area and is an acclaimed authority on what's known as psychoacoustics. That is, the study of the effects of music and sound on the human nervous system. His breakthrough work is being used in clinics and classrooms all over the globe. Susan Wagner has lots of initials after her name. She is a veterinarian who is board certified in neurology, and she teaches veterinary integrative medicine at Ohio State University. Like Joshua, she's an in-demand public speaker, and both of them are ardent dog lovers. Together, they put their neurons and collaborate on the impact of sound and music on dogs. Now ready to share their results, they recently released a book, I'm talking just this month, called Through a Dog's Ear, Using Sound to Improve the Health and Behavior of Your Canine Companion. The book includes a special music CD. In addition, they also produced a 60-minute music CD with the help of a concert pianist named Lisa Spector, also called Through a Dog's Ear, Music to Calm Your Canine Companion. Okay, Joshua and Susan, I'm all ears, literally. So hopefully, let's start by having you briefly explain what this study is all about and how it led to producing a book and two CDs. I'm not sure. Joshua, you want to start, and then Susan, you pick up?
I'll actually just throw this on over to Dr. Wagner. Go ahead, Susan.
Well, it's a great story. I happen to reach out to Joshua on a completely different matter involving music, and he had just been talking with Lisa about doing some music for dogs, because what Lisa found is when she played certain kind of music, her puppy would either calm down, go to sleep, or become more rambunctious. So we got together and talked about the physiology of the dog and heart rates, brain waves, and they put together some great music that we then tested in over 150 dogs around the country in boarding kennels, veterinarians, clinics, and in the home. And what we found was really amazing, especially with one particular CD in a way that it was able to completely calm these dogs and relax them. It was just quite amazing.
I mean, what did you think, Susan, in your wildest dreams, did you ever think your work as a veterinary neurologist would lead you to hanging out with an accomplished gentleman like Joshua in the world of psychoacoustics?
No, but I tell you, as a neurologist, it was very exciting to me, because when I reached out to Joshua, I really didn't understand what psychoacoustics was at all. And being a music lover, I got that piece of it, how it gives us an emotional charge and how we love it. But then to find out that there was actual physiology and how it affected the brain as a neurologist, that was just fascinating and very, very exciting to me. So when we talk about music in dogs, what we're saying is that there really is physiology behind this. There is a response that they give us, and it reduces their heart rate, relaxes their brain waves, and what we see is behaviors that show us that they are much more calm and much more relaxed.
Well, it's almost like the science of music and the music of science. Joshua, you've done a lot of research in the worlds of two-leggers, people, and I wanted to ask you, what made you want to expand into the world of dogs?
That's a great question, Art, and I appreciate it. You know, this project, in the same way as you asking Dr. Wagner whether or not she would have ever have thought that she would find herself involved in a project involving psychoacoustics. Likewise, if that question were to come to me, I would tell you that never in a million years would I have thought 5 years ago that I would now find myself on your program talking about the effect of music and sound on our wonderful canine companions. When Lisa Spector, a concert pianist and an avid volunteer puppy raiser for Guide Dogs for the Blind, contacted me close to 5 years ago, I originally turned the project down. She was very interested in the possibility of me being able to produce a CD that could be sold at her local pet store. And at first I just thought to myself, I just don't know. I don't think that there's enough research about what's going on with sound and with dogs. And I just, I basically thought that I didn't think that I'd be able to do this project. However, when I woke up the next morning, I had a reconsideration about it. And being a sound researcher, I went to first one university, the University of California at Berkeley, and then the following day to the University of California at Davis, which is the primary vet school school here in California. And after 2 days of gathering research, I saw that there had been enough to get us going and that there was not enough to give us definitive results. And so for me, understanding that music and sound has a profound effect on the human nervous system, not only in terms of the direct effect on brain waves, on heart rate, and on breath, but also in terms of the secondary effect of too much sensory overwhelm or too much auditory overwhelm on the nervous system, and the way that that then begins very possibly to affect the immune response. So when Lisa came to me and asked me about this project, and then when I went and I found the research that I did, that told me that a researcher from Belfast, Ireland, had in 2002 come over to San Francisco. And between dog shelters here in San Francisco and in Belfast, Ireland, had been able to clinically verify that the dogs actually displayed a musical preference.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, yes, we found it to be absolutely amazing, because what she found was not only did they have a musical preference, but it was a very clearly definable preference, that when she played heavy metal music or rock and roll or jazz, it made the dogs anxious. Mm-hmm. And when she played classical music, it calmed them down. And so I happened to be going to Edinburgh, Scotland, for a conference, and Belfast is just a few hundred miles away, and I decided to drop in and to see Dr. Wells and to discuss her research with her. And after spending an afternoon, I was excitedly able to communicate to Susan Wagner that I felt that it would be worth our while to go ahead and to essentially stand on the shoulders of this first research study and to say, okay, we already know that classical music has a calming effect on these dogs. Now, is it possible to be able to take classical music and to rearrange it in a way that I knew worked with human beings to be able to deeply calm them? Would it be possible by using many of these same psychoacoustic techniques to be able to have an even greater efficacious effect on the canines? And at that point, as Dr. Wagner mentioned, we went into 2 years of clinical study with over 150 dogs. The truth is, we did not know what we were going to find.
Isn't that exciting? I mean, to be, pardon the pun, to be as curious as a cat, and you're both accomplished researchers and have a passion for music and people and pets. To me, I love this whole part of discovery. And, you know, blazing a trail that hasn't been completely paved in asphalt, if you will. So, all of us know that behavior is a real big concern with people. And there are a lot of Velcro dogs, you know, dogs that have different degrees of separation anxiety out there. And for a lot of people, they just don't know what to do. And to have something as valuable as a tool and as accessible as music, you may be doing a lot of good for a lot of people and pets.
Gosh, it is really exciting work. You're exactly right. When you stumble onto something that's just so new, but yet so simple and so safe, that's the other piece of it. There's no harm here in any way, and it's so something that's so simple and so safe that can help these dogs is really, really wonderful.
For us, one of the exciting things about all this, as we've stood on the shoulders of Dr. Wells and moved it forward to the point where we can say not all classical music is the same. Classical music is the best music we can be playing for dogs to calm them and to deeply relax them. And if we do psychoacoustically rearranged music, then it is twice as effective as regular classical music. But the exciting thing for us are the questions that then are put on the table. Questions about where do we go from here to become even more effective with it, because as Dr. Wagner is saying, there are no side effects from this music. We don't have to be concerned about hurting any people or dogs with the use of the music. One of the things we like to joke about is the only way they could ever hurt themselves is if they ate one of the CDs. But what we believe, though, is that because there are no side effects, no ramifications, that this is really opening up the conversation of what is the effect of the human soundscape on our dogs. And to me, that really is a very interesting backstory.
What we'd like to do at this time is to play a passage, if you will, from your CD and your book, through a dog's ear, just to get people their ears in tune to be able to understand this is the type of music that does have some very powerful calming impact on our dogs. So with the help of my magic producer, we're going to listen for a few seconds to some of this passage. Now, that's nice music. I mean, I grew up with rock and roll, but I got to tell you, when I play classical music in my home office, my two dogs, Chipper and Cleo, just seem to chill out. And I have a dog, Chipper, who turns into a 60-pound puddle when she hears a skateboard down the street. And, of course, I live in California, so there's no skateboard, so I have no problem. But I'm hoping that something like this, this sound therapy, if you will, might be able to work some wonders on this otherwise pretty cool, confident canine. Joshua or Susan, what do you think about the impact that you might have on many, many dogs?
Well, I think that you're onto something. It's really obvious for those dogs that have anxiety that we'd want to calm them down. You know, other applications with the shelter animals, that's obviously an anxious environment. So to be able to help them, I'm interested in laboratory animals. But really, it's applicable to every dog, every animal, because what I'm very interested in is what are the physiologic effects of just relaxation therapy every day for a dog. We know the benefits in people. I mean, that's been well studied. If you look at the Mind-Body Institute at Harvard, they're doing some incredible work on relaxation therapy, meditation, and its effects on our bodies. So I'm very curious to see if the great opportunity for a prospective study to see what would happen in terms of their just general health if they were able to relax, you know, for 20 minutes every day, like we know is beneficial in people. So your dog doesn't have to necessarily be an anxious dog, I believe, to benefit from that, and it's a great opportunity to do some research in that area.
We're going to come back to the show. You're listening to Obehave on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. We're very fortunate to have two amazing people, Joshua Leeds and Dr. Susan Wagner, who are the co-authors of an amazing new book called Through a Dog's Ear, How to Use Sound to Improve the Health and Behavior of Your Canine Companion. And yes, CDs are also provided in this. When we come back, we'd like to talk about a term called noise disease and how we can take maybe a sonic inventory in our household. And I'm hoping that our experts can give some practical tips to all of us who have pets in our household on how we can use sound to benefit our pets. We'll be right back after these messages.
Would you like to go out?
Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me.
Oh, behave! We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Because they're a member of the family, keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. On demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on? Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet Magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet Magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, behave!
You're listening to Oh Behave on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our show has Joshua Leeds. He's a very accomplished expert in the field of psychoacoustics, and Dr. Susan Wagner, who is a veterinary neurologist. Both of them are doggone happy about having pets in their lives. They have written a new book that just came out and is doing quite well because it's got a lot of meat to it. It's called Through a Dog's Ear, How to Use Sound to Improve the Health and Behavior of Your Canine Companion. Joshua, can you explain the term noise disease? You mentioned that in your book.
Well, the fact is that there is no definable noise disease per se. But what ends up taking place is that through many studies, we've learned that if people don't feel like they have control of their environment on any sensorial level, whether or not that's heat or whether or not that's kinesthetically through touch or auditorily or visually, then the anxiety within continues to build and build and build. And what we know is that when somebody has chronic anxiety, the net effect of that is that it starts to wear away at their immune response. It starts to lower their ability to be able to fight off any kind of toxic environment. And then from there, we know people start to get sick. And if this takes place over a long period of time, then it turns from being from an acute situation to a chronic situation where people just basically do not have the ability to have a strong immune response to anything. And so, as we know, stress contributes to a tremendous amount of varying degrees of diseases. And we feel that too much anxiety contributes to stress. The stress then contributes to lowered immune function. So there is no such thing as a noise disease per se. But what we do have is we have stress-induced diseases and sicknesses. Yeah.
In your book, you talked a little bit about different sounds and decibels and how they impact both human and dog ears. And maybe Dr. Susan Wagner, you can jump in on this one. Can you explain a little bit about the differences on how we versus our dogs hear things and the impacts certain noises in the home as well as out in the streets can impact us?
Well, the interesting thing is that neurologically speaking, we hear in the same way. You know, our hearing nerve gets the sound waves and it's transmitted through the brainstem up into the brain. And that's the same for a dog or for a person. We do know that dogs' hearing is more sensitive, though. They can hear frequencies that are at a much broader spectrum than what we can hear. The other thing to remember in both dogs and people is that there's an instinctive response called the orienting response. And what happens is when any sensory input comes in, any noise comes in, our brain has to react to it. It has to listen to it, hear it, decide is it a threat or not, and then we can go back to what we were doing. So again, that's instinctive. And so when you talk about noise pollution and different noises coming in from all different directions and all the multitasking that we humans do, our brains aren't able to relax. I mean, they're constantly being disrupted. I have to listen to this and now over this and to this. The thing that is most fascinating, though, is that when we talk about behavior, some of the behaviorists and studies that I've read suggest that some of the phobias that are created in dogs happen more readily when it is a sound that instinctively would really create fear. In other words, thunderstorms or a loud bang, something that they know is a threat versus the loud television or something like that. So I find that fascinating with all the number of dogs that are afraid of thunderstorms and that type of thing. So just to know that this is instinctive with your dog and instinctive with you, it really helps to raise awareness on the type of environment that you want to create in your home. So I'd really like people to understand that the calmer the environment, the less stress on that brain and on that orienting response.
In your book, you actually give some practical tips on how we can make the home environment a little bit more soothing for our home alone dogs. I mean, you know, we've often heard people suggest to leave on the TV or the radio when your dog's home alone as a way to get some, you know, noise that maybe they're more comfortable and familiar with. But in your book, Through a Dog's Ear, you actually suggest maybe switching to a classical station. Is that correct?
Well, what we believe is that not all classical music is the same. And what we have found is that if we use music that is that adheres to the psychoacoustic principles of resonance and entrainment and pattern identification, then we'll have a much greater effect on two levels. Number one, we're masking unwanted sounds. And the second effect is that we are actually using music that has the ability to reduce the heart rate and the brainwave rate, which helps to be able to calm these animals. I mean, Arden, I think that one of the things that we're hypothesizing here is that there's a possibility that the tremendous uptick in behavioral issues in American dogs may have a sensory integration piece attached to it. In other words, is it possible that we have too much noise in the dog's environment that they can't identify? That when we're talking about the orienting response, they don't have the ability to be able to hook it up and to be able to say, oh, I see, that voice that is coming out of that black box, which we know is an answering machine on the counter in the kitchen, but to a dog is actually a completely disembodied voice all of a sudden floating through the house and then gone, or the sound of the helicopter or the car alarm outside, that they can't basically correlate what started it, why is it stopped, where's it coming from? When's it going to start again? That the overwhelm on an auditory level that takes place may very possibly be the cause of many of the behavioral issues that we see our dogs manifesting. You know, an interesting thing is that we have strategies for stress. We have the ability to be able to say, I'm going to go and I'm going to take a walk, I'm going to do some yoga, I'm going to meditate, I'm going to take a nap, I'm going to eat a certain kind of food. The dogs don't have the same ability to be able to identify something as a stress and then come up with a solution for the stress.
So that's a very important point. I mean, I can't see a dog saying, excuse me, I've got to meditate now, I'm into Dougie Zen Land right now. They need our help to be able to cope with some of the things that are building stresses. And
exactly, and so far from that vantage point, we're saying, look at the behavioral issues that your dogs are presenting. Why? What is it that's taking place in their environment that may actually be contributing to their behavior, but they don't know how to tell us? They don't basically know how to say, we are stressed out, we are getting too much in auditory input, and we don't know what to do with it. It's called sensory overwhelm or sensory overload. It's just too much. We as human beings know what happens when we find ourselves in a situation where there's just too much, too fast, that we haven't had the opportunity to be able to process. And so the dogs don't have the ability, especially the dogs that are left alone all day without even anybody to be able to go and sit down, you know, next to them to be able to say, okay, I know you're going to take care of me, mom or dad here. You're going to take care of this. They don't have anywhere to go with that. And so we believe that many of the behavior indicators are really saying there's something that you should check out in your environment to see whether or not there's too much, too little that is causing these dogs to go into a sensory overwhelm.
Now, is there maybe a few tips or tricks to make the house a little bit more soothing for our dogs who are home alone? Can maybe, Susan, you start, and Joshua, you add a couple tips so that when people listening, they know that this is a wonderful book with some CDs, and you're really, really trying to give some practical take-home tips to help people and their pets.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because that's all we all need, a little bit of help in understanding what we can do. So, and you did hit on one thing in terms of exercise beyond what we can create in the environment is we would, Joshua said, we'd like to go out to take a walk. So every behaviorist is going to tell you the importance of exercise. So definitely get out there and hear some nature sounds. But as far as in the home, one thing that really I'm very sensitive to is the television. My husband jokes that, you know, I can't walk into a room without turning something down, whether it's the light or the TV or the radio. I mean, it's just, I'm hugely sensitive to sound. So I would ask people to listen to the volume that their TVs are at. You know, it's amazing to me when I started doing house calls. It really, really hit home when I walked in and I would hear this blaring television and then nobody's even watching it. So that's number one. Look at the number of hours that TV is on. If you're not watching it, please, you know, turn it down or turn it off. And don't have the TV and the radio on at the same time. And watch the loudness of your speaking voice. You know, do you need to yell across the room? Maybe walk across the room and have that conversation. If there's buzzers and bells and things like that, can you turn them off? If there's construction noise outside, is there a place where your dog or cats can go to get away from that? Don't enclose them in an area where they can't get away from those sounds. And then, you know, using the music to kind of calm them and mask some of those outside sounds, I think, is really important as well. And you mentioned rock and roll. I mean, we love rock and roll in this household, and we listen to it, and sometimes at loud volumes. But I can tell you that my animals are never kept right in that environment. They can go wherever they want to in the house. The same thing with whether it's a Buckeye football or a Steeler game. You know, we get pretty excited. But my animals are able to leave and get to a place that they feel comfortable. So that's very important. Don't assume that they're going to want to be with you watching that football game or listening to that music. Let them make a choice for themselves.
That sounds very good. Susan, how about you, Joshua? Is there another tip or two you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yes, there is. Up on our website at throughadogsear.com, there is what we call a dog's ear sonic inventory. And what we are suggesting to people is that, given the fact that they're aware of what the kind of food they're feeding their animals, and they're aware of the environment that their animals are in on a physical plane level, that we suggest that they start to now become sound-aware dog guardians as well. That's really the main point about this book and this inquiry, is how can you become just even more of an alert and intentional and conscious animal guardian. And one of the tools that we created was something that we call a sonic inventory. And what we suggest is that people sit quietly for 30 minutes with a pen and pad and how they can then begin to tune into the sounds they hear inside the house and outside on the street. And then they can begin to notice the dog's behavior and how the dog is responding to the sounds, if there's a lack of reaction or an overreaction, and then rate the sounds from 1 to 10, 10 being the most disturbing and 1 being the least noticeable. And what we think that people will find is that they can figure out how to make their homes into a calmer, more peaceful place in a way that they've never have really taken the time to be able to consider. What is the effect of the sonic environment on my animals? And what we think that people will find, not think, we know, that people will find is not only taking a half an hour to just take this sonic inventory will be of value to their dogs, it will be of value to their children, it will be of value to their other family members and to themselves. Because what we have discovered, the symbiotic relationship between these animals and between ourselves, it just goes around in a circle. What's good for these animals is going to be good for us. What is not good for these animals is also not good for us as well. And so consequently, if we do take the time to measure and to gauge, very simply we can do this. It doesn't require any fancy devices or machines. It just requires a half an hour of time to just sit down and be aware of what's taking place. And we think that people will be able to make wonderful, very simple changes that will not only have an effect on the dogs, but on the entire canine household.
We are listening to Joshua Leeds. He is a psychoacoustic expert, and Dr. Susan Wagner, a veterinary neurologist. They have worked, collaborated with the help of a concert pianist by the name of Lisa Spector to create a book called Through a Dog's Ear, How to Use Sound to Improve the Health and Behavior of Your Canine Companion. And they also produced a couple of CDs. And in the background, the mailman has just come, so the dogs in my neighborhood are letting everyone know that the mailman is here, if you hear that in the background. But to learn more about this book, you can go to the website throughadogsear.com. I want to thank both Joshua Leeds and Dr. Susan Wagner today. Is there any quick parting comment you'd like to add on how people can learn more about your research?
Well, we have the entire study posted on the website if you'd like to look at the data and the justification, our thought process, and how we did it. So I wanted everybody to be able to read that and come to their own conclusion. So it's on the website.
This music is the first music that has been clinically tested for dogs. And the response that we have been getting, not only in the clinical studies, but as the music is now starting to filter out into our society, is overwhelmingly positive. People are clamoring for more. They're wanting to be, they're responding to the fact that we have a natural, organic way to be able to remediate many of the problems that these dogs have had. And we all want to be able to have as healthy and vibrant lives for ourselves as well as for our dogs, and we're really delighted to be making a small contribution to that.
Well, I thank you both, Joshua Leeds and Dr. Susan Wagner, co-authors of Through a Dog's Ear. And if you enjoyed listening to this show and want to learn more, please visit PetLifeRadio.com. I want to thank my awesome producer for putting this show together. And until next time, I just have two words for all you 2-, 3-, and 4-leggers out there. Oh, behave!
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Oh, yeah. So stop by our pad every week and get switched on, baby. Switched on to the show that's all about attitude. Oh, behave! With your groovy host, pet edutainer Arden Moore. Yeah, baby, yeah. Every week on demand on PetLifeRadio.com.